Evening. One more round here. Good to see everybody. I wanted to mention this. I was waiting for the right time to mention this about Brother Walsky, and after hearing his testimony, that was now is the right time. I just want to thank Brother Walsky and tell you this story. When I was in Bible school in PBI, he came through to present. We were trying to figure out what year, and I don't think we ever figured out what year, but it doesn't matter. He was doing his presentation and talking about his city where he was ministering, and I don't remember the numbers, brother. Was it, how many was in your city? Do you remember your cities where you were, some of the major ones?
Warsaw would be over 2 million.
There we go. So, yeah, in the millions or close to a million, and he was going through those numbers at the time, whatever those numbers were, and then he mentioned that they were 95% Catholic in that country. And so just as he actually relate, which this was really wild that I didn't know, but in his testimony he talked about the Lord dealing with him on, was it the encyclopedia, about how many people are in these cities and no gospel preacher. And that's, I didn't know, that's even wilder for this particular story, because I was sitting in about over there and watching and listening, and those same, I had the same thoughts of 2 million people, 95% Catholic, 95% of 2 million people are going to die and go to hell. And then he's talking about this other city, 95% of this other, millions of others dying and go to hell. And that was, Poland is only, there's a few cities in Poland, and then that's one country in Europe. And Europe is just one small part of the world. And then there's how many places in the world filled with countries, with cities of millions of people going to hell. And so the Lord, that was the first time in my life where missions, the importance and the gravity of missions came into my heart, and the Lord used that. So that's really a blessing to me, and I just wanted to say that, and that's really wild that we're here at the same mission conference all these years later. So I wanted to say that, and thank you to Brother Walsky for everything you've done for the Lord, and just being faithful. Let's look at Job 22, and then along those same lines of being faithful and doing what you can for the Lord, Job 22, we talked about the call of missions Friday night. Was that right? Friday night? Saturday? I don't remember. It's all running together. We talked about the call of missions. We talked about the faith of missions. And now we're going to talk about the profitability of missions. And in Job 22, in verse 2, this is just the question of the sermon. Job 22, verse 2, can a man be profitable unto God? As he that is wise may be profitable unto himself. And that's the question. Can you be profitable unto God? And we'll just explore that through this sermon. And spoiler alert, the answer is yes, obviously. And so we're going to look at the profitability you can have to God. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray for this sermon and just ask that the things said would be glorifying to you. I pray that I'd be able to work through these thoughts in a way that would make sense, in a way that would touch your people's hearts. And I know that you could overcome any type of failure and mistakes I make in the flesh in this time, and I know that you can speak to your people despite human errors or anything like that. Just we know it's your word. We know I want to rest on the promise that you've manifested your word through preaching in this time, in this age, and I pray that the words that come out would be from you to your people. They can see their profitability. They can see how much you desire to be in the yoke with them and to work with them and use them, and they can be a part of your plan and what you're doing. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about profit in a human sense for a minute. We'll do the introduction. It's always good in your introduction to just ease into it and try to shift your mind. I'm introducing a brand new idea here, profit. How much do we talk about profit in church? It's like churches are supposed to lose money, not make money. And so we're going to talk about profit for a minute. Profit is literally to drive forward or to advance. And profit's an interesting thought. In the world, we're talking about financially in under the sun. Profit is not always understood. You have a whole theology or a whole mentality called socialism. And socialism says that we need to put all of our money into a big pot and then we share the money. And they have a fault. That's a faulty thinking that profit is a zero-sum game. In other words, they look at profit like a gambling table. Everybody puts their money in, and there's one winner and a bunch of losers, and that's how they see profit. Whereas that's not the way that profit actually works in God's economy or in the Bible or in real life. And when you see that like more of a capitalistic free market, you understand that the world is full of abundance. The world is full of God providing more and more. God providing the sun shines and the trees grow, and then you cut down a tree and you make something out of it and you sell it. You just created profit out of nothing. You created profit out of the sunshine that God gave to the tree. And so that's the sun's just going to keep shining and the trees are going to keep growing. So you didn't, by selling something you make out of a tree, you didn't steal that money from that person. The Bible says if you have corn and you don't sell your corn, they're going to curse you. It's a blessing to sell things to people that need the product. How many times have you needed a product? I want something. I want to buy something. I need to buy this. It's going to help my life. And you can't find that product. And so profit is in no way a zero sum. You're not the person making a profit is not. It's not at the expense of somebody else. Profit is, God has created this abundance where the abundance and the profit of this life is infinite in this earth. Man takes after the image of God, and I think that the Bible bears out that God is interested in profit. And again, it's not just the money thing that's... He does care about your money, absolutely, and he does think about that. But there's more than just money and profit. There's, like I said, it's to drive forward, it's to advance. So there could be profit in your good works. There could be profit in your wisdom and things like that. I'll say this. Let's see. There's here's a good verse on profit. It's in Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit. So don't be discouraged. Sometimes you get discouraged at your work, at your job, and you think, like, I don't even care. This job is, I don't like this job. And sometimes that happens. You get stuck at a job you don't like. And just remember, in all labor, there's profit. He says this, the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is like being poor. So if you want to run your, if you want to work, you're going to have profit. You want to be poor, just keep running your mouth. And that's physically. Now, spiritually, Paul the Apostle tells this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:14. He tells Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And so Paul sees, even spiritually, if you want to get in all your little arguments and bickerings, even spiritually, there's no profit there in that bickering. There's going to be no spiritual profit in that arguing. And so there's something about profit. In Isaiah, he talks about people who form a god, a molten, and they molten a graven image, okay? Forming a graven image, and he says it's profitable for nothing. And so the idea there is if you want to have a graven image and if you want to make your image after what men want, if you're going to form yourself in the image that men want you to be, there's not going to be any profit in there. All right, let's talk about how to increase profit. Let's do it. Let's talk about, I pointed my wife again. She said, don't point at me anymore because I don't want anybody looking at me. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 4. We're going to talk about how to increase profit. We're going to talk about money. Some of you young men should think about trying to run a business. Try to make some profit with your life. Altar call? Amen, brother. Some of you should think about what it means to have some profit, what it means to be a giver. Giving is one of the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. If you want to be a giver, you probably need some more money to give. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with making some more profit, making some more money in your life, and trying to increase your profit and increase your output. Now, this is, again, this is just under the sun. This is just practical advice for your everyday life. There's a way to increase profit is to use something called capital. Capital is, we're going to look at three different kinds of capital. Capital is things that you use to produce more with the same amount. You've got the same amount here, but you use some capital, and now it's making more. And that's going to be human capital is one. You're in Ecclesiastes 4. Did I say that? We're going to talk about human capital. It says in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. As that's not complicated. Get an employee or get a business partner. Get an employee or a business partner. If you've got one guy working on the trim over here, like I know your church has had some remodeling, and he's working alone over here, and you've got a guy working over here on the trim over here, and he's working alone over here, there's two guys there, and they can do one plus one, so they can do two. Now you say, tell this guy, go over there, and you two work together, and you go cut the stuff, and you nail the stuff in. And now you've got one and one, and now, but they're going to put out four. They're going to put out much more. God says one of you is going to chase, tells the Jews, one of you will chase 1,000. Two of you is going to chase 10,000. So when you work together and you get a team going, that's human capital, and you produce a lot more. That increases your profit. Okay, we're at 37. Okay, I'll keep going. The next type of capital I'll talk about is manufactured capital or technology. That's in Ecclesiastes 10. And this verse is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10. This is manufactured capital. This is technology. Solomon is telling you here, use some technology to get more done. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. So the concept is if your tool is not sharp, it's going to take you longer to do the work, or you could just stop and sharpen your tool and you'll get the work done a lot faster. You can sharpen your tool. You can buy the right tool. You might not have the right tool. You can go buy it, go rent it. You can go get some technology, and with AI and everything, people are using AI to get more done quicker, and so that's the idea there. You can use technology and you can use tools to get more done in a faster way. And what the part of this verse that I love the most is the end. He says, "But wisdom is profitable to direct." So you see here that intellectual capital is even more important than tools. So the idea is, if your iron is blunt, if your axe is blunt, you want to sharpen it and get more done. Okay, so then you read the rest of the verse, and Solomon is saying, if your mind is blunt, if you have a dull mind, go get some wisdom. Go get some wisdom, and then your life's going to go a little better. And I want to take a little quick side note and say this, that I absolutely can't stand when I hear people say things like, I'm not smart enough, or that person is smart, and I wish I was smart like that person, or I'm not smart enough to be able to do X, Y, Z. When I hear that, it just absolutely drives me up a wall, because just because you got bad grades in school, that doesn't have any effect on how wise you are. Your grades in school and your wisdom are completely not even close. They're not related in any way whatsoever. Some of the dumbest people you'll meet are college professors that are just like, they're so in the books that they could tell you the tensile strength of a paper bag. They could tell you how much volume is inside of a paper bag. They could tell you about the atoms that make up the paper bag, but they couldn't find their way out of it if their life depended on it. And so if you feel like you're not smart, feel like I'm just not smart enough, the Bible says, ask God and he will give you wisdom and he will give it to you liberally. And I want to encourage you there. Don't ever say you're not smart enough. Say, I didn't do good in school, but I'm going to get wisdom from God. And that's completely different. Okay, side note over. Let's go back to one more thing. Let's look at Matthew 25. This is all introduction. Just trying to get you interested in profit. Because then we want to look at the true profit. Matthew 25. This one's fun. This one's controversial. And we're going to talk about financial capital. You can use money to make more money. Have a little wisdom with your money and your savings. This is called investing. And don't stone me. I don't know. The Bible believers are all over the map with opinions on investing. However, I'm going to just give you the Bible opinion so that I can be safe. Matthew 25, 27. We can start in verse 26. I think you know this. Verse 25. This guy gets a talent from the Lord. In verse 25, he said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. You took a valuable piece of money and you just did nothing with it. That's wicked and lazy. Unbelievable. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Usury is just interest. I used to think that was like a high interest, like an exorbitant amount of interest. And then I went and studied the Bible, and that's just any type of interest is usury. And so he said, I could have received my own with usury. You realize the exchangers there, that's they sell stocks on the New York Stock Exchange. And so I'm not, I don't know. You want to buy stocks? Buy stocks. It's a way that you will make interest. So, okay. Am I safe here? But this is investing. Investing, if you want to increase your profit and you have a chunk of money, you can use your money to make more money. And you can use other people's money to make money. And that's called real estate. You can buy a property with a loan, and you're using someone else's money, and now you're making money with someone else's money. All right, so that's just investing. That's profit, and you pray about that, and the Lord will lead you in that. But let's keep going, and I'll get into 3 points here. And are we okay after that? Is it just me? I'm used to a Northwest crowd. Our church is Northwest. I mean, we're in Alaska. But you never know what's gonna strike people. Okay, I want to say this. Here's something. There's profit in righteousness. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And he says this in Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So our question here is, can a man be profitable unto God? I just showed you, Job says, can you be unprofitable unto God the way a wise man can be profitable unto himself? And I just showed you those three different ways where you can increase your profit to yourself in this earth. But can a man be profitable unto God? Let's look at Acts chapter 20. I have just a few thoughts. This was a really tough sermon to get ready. I read that verse in Job a few weeks ago, and it struck me, and it wouldn't go away, and I really felt like there was something there. And it was, I was just trying to work through, like, where is this message? What is the message here? And so I hope that I found it. But there's a profit in sacrifice. We're talking about missions. I know it was like way out in left field, and we're at the missions conference, so let's come back into the missions. Paul, the original missionary. And a missionary has to go through a lot of sacrifice. And not only just missionaries, but Christians that want to serve the Lord here in this church, in this town, in this state, in this country. Christians have to go through some sacrifice. And in Acts 20 and verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Okay, so Paul is calling the elders of the church to come and so he can talk to them. In verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. All right, so Paul went to Asia as a missionary. He's making this sacrifice to give up his life, what he thought he was going to do with his life. And he's made this sacrifice. He's in Asia. He's serving the Lord. And it says in 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is making this sacrifice, and there's a profit there. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The scripture is profitable. Paul is making this sacrifice to preach the scripture to these people, keeping back nothing that was profitable. Paul's attitude, we saw the attitude Friday night from Pastor Murphy, whatever it takes to get the gospel and to get to these people and to teach these people and love these people, whatever it takes. And that was his attitude. You may be familiar with the passage where he says, to the Jews I became a Jew, to the Greeks I was as a Greek, to the weak I became weak, and so on. And Paul, just whatever it took, whatever kind of sacrifice it took to get there. The missionary is just crazy enough to leave home and country and just to seek a different path and just seek that path that God has for them. And as a Christian, that's a scary thought to you because, you know, who embraces sacrifice? Which one of you is like, I just can't wait to sacrifice? But you never know when God's going to tap you on the shoulder and just ask for a sacrifice. But there's profit. There's profit in that sacrifice if you go through with it. I spent 5 years in Point Lay, and that was, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I made that sacrifice. I have zero regrets. The only regrets I have is could I have done better? Yeah, hopefully we all have the attitude that we could do better and try and do better. I have no regrets of making that sacrifice. It was, I'm not going to be upset when I get to the judgment seat of Christ. I know that. I'm not going to be upset about it then. When God just taps on your shoulder and asks you about that sacrifice, there's going to be some profit in it. Just try to go with that. Try to fulfill that. All right, let's keep going. There's the next thing is there's profit in suffering. There's profit in suffering. And this one is never fun to think about this. And I've suffered a mild amount, nothing like some things that other people have suffered. But I know that it's real. I know that it's important. I know it's part of the works of God. It's part of how God deals with us as children. We know this in Hebrews 12. He says that our fathers in this life chastened us for their own pleasure. It says God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And so there's some suffering there, maybe suffering for your own mistakes and your own sins. And that's something you got to deal with and get through. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. And we'll look at this church was called to suffer. Just as a group, they went through some sufferings. 2 Thessalonians, we're in chapter 1. And talking about the call, this church was called to this. And we'll see that in just a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. And this is it. For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. These Thessalonians went through a persecution by, it appears that the government was trying to shut them down and those types of things. And in verse 5, he says, this tribulation and the persecution in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. And then he's going to talk about the second advent of Jesus Christ, and we're going to skip through that. And just to stay in the context, verse 11. He says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Amen. And just want you to see that was their calling. God counted them worthy of suffering. And we're not all counted worthy of suffering in the same degree. There's profit in suffering, and we don't all get to suffer. The suffering is a gift. It's a special thing that God lets some people go through, and he doesn't let all Christians go through it. Not all Christians can handle it. I don't know what I can handle. I know I've had a little bit of suffering, and I've been able to get through it, and I don't know. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. I want you to see how valuable it is in 1 Peter 1. You'll see the value placed on the suffering. You'll see it is profitable. It is got a price. There's a price connected. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So there's a rejoicing, but not so much rejoicing because we're in a trial. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, that though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The currency of your faith and your suffering, the currency is gold. It's equal to gold. Gold said, "Well, it's worth more than gold." Is what he's saying. He picked the most valuable thing that we know about to say this is. You think gold is valuable? Well, the trial of your faith and your sufferings is even more valuable. There's profit to God there in your suffering, and again, there's no rejoicing and there's no happiness to suffering. You know, it's not a thing we are excited. Oh, I can't wait to suffer. But it's part of the prophet of God. I'll tell you about, a lot of people have asked me about Nick Cirino, and I want to tell you a story about his son, Daryl. And we're going to talk about a little bit about suffering. And Daryl Cirino, I don't know if he has been to this church or if, I'm not sure the connection, but Nick Cirino started a church in Barrow, Alaska, which is the northernmost city in America. And then he started, and then he went, and then Wainwright is the next one over. Point Lay is the next one over where I was. And then the next one down is Point Hope. So Nick Cirino, Nick Sr., he's still in Point Hope ministering. And his son Daryl is now in Barrow. Yeah, well, he's been there for quite a few years. So Nick, Daryl, the son, grew up in Barrow. It was sort of his hometown as Nick moved around with the family into those villages. But Daryl grew up in that village more or less. And so it's almost like his hometown village, as much as you can be as a missionary or a missionary's kid. And he had he's the pastor of the Baptist church there. He's got three sons, and then he had a little daughter. And the sons are a little bit older. They're at the time when this all happened, they were teenagers. And his daughter Bella was 4 years old when she got cancer. And that was something they had to deal with. They wound up coming off the field for a little bit. They were in Seattle. And so I think the Ronald McDonald house was helping them out and giving them some assistance. And they battled through that cancer for close to a year. And she was 4 years old when it happened, when she got cancer. And she never made it to her fifth birthday. And she passed away. And what they decided to do was bring her body back to the village. And they decided to have a birthday party, a celebration of life for her, not a funeral. And I'm telling you this story because Daryl, I can't even imagine losing a four-year-old daughter. And it was like the daughter of their last kid. It was their little daughter that was the last one. You know, the teenage boys, who cares about them when you got a little girl? And I was able to be there for the funeral. And so he had a service on the Friday night and then a funeral on the Saturday. And the service on Friday night was, they went to one of the high schools or the high school in the auditorium. And it was open to the public. Quite a few people came. A lot of people know Daryl in the city, lost or saved alike. He's known there. And he stood up in front of everybody, in front of this whole crowd. He stood there and he said, "I am not mad at God. God did exactly the right thing that was supposed to happen. We are not bitter. We're not upset. God is right. Whatever God decided, he is right." And like, how many, I mean, what a testimony. What an absolute testimony to be, you know, you're already a missionary. You've already sacrificed your whole life in a way, you know. And for the Lord to do that and then to stand in front of your hometown and to have that testimony that God was right. What he did was the right thing to do. How much power for Jesus Christ that could have. And so at the next day at the celebration of life, some people were some preachers talked. His father, the Bella's grandfather, talked, or Nick Cirino, you guys know Nick. He spoke. But one of the guys was talking about the family and just saying, God could not trust just anybody with this suffering. This was a special suffering, and it. How many Christians could go through that with that kind of testimony? I'm not saying I'm could. I have no idea what I would do. But God knew he could trust Daryl Cirino and his family with that suffering and just the testimony that they could have. And, you know, how sitting in that service as a lost person, you'd have to really consider your life and really consider the gospel and really consider the love of Jesus Christ if Daryl could do that. So that's there's profit there. I'm saying there's just a tremendous amount of profit there in that suffering. All right, and so I got one more thing here to say. There's profit in surrender. There's profit in surrender. Now, like that suffering is, maybe not everybody in this room is going to have suffering in that type of magnitude, but everybody in this room can have some surrender. Amen. Everybody can understand that there's profit when you surrender to God. Yeah. First thing, right off the bat, this is a given. There's profit in salvation. In Mark 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And we know that a man's soul is worth more than the whole world to God. people's souls are so important to God. You can't put a value on, there's no amount of profit that is worth more than a man's soul. And so there's a the example here is Onesimus. You guys remember Onesimus? In Philemon 1, Paul says, "In times past, before he was saved, he was unprofitable. But now he's profitable to me and to you." And so Onesimus was a slave that ran away from Philemon. And before his salvation, just not a profitable guy. And Paul says, "Hey, he's saved now. So he's now he's profitable." Okay, you're profitable when you surrender to that salvation. And you're also profitable when you surrender to God's will. Remember in Jeremiah 13, there's a story where the Lord tells Jeremiah to do something a little strange, like he often does with the prophets. He says, "Put this linen girdle on and wear it around." Okay, you're done wearing it around. Okay, take it to Euphrates and find some rocks and just bury this girdle on the side of the river and then just go home. And after many days, I want you to go back, dig up that girdle. And Jeremiah says, "So I went and I dug it up and I held it up in the air and it was all marred, this girdle. And I saw that it was profitable for nothing." It was good for nothing at this point. And the lesson God was trying to get across is, listen, that's what the Jews are doing to me. That's what my people are doing to me. Just like this girdle is supposed to cleave to your loins, that's what the Jews are supposed to be for me. They're supposed to be my strength. They're supposed to be so close to me. God wants his people so close to him that they're like underwear. I mean, that's the picture he's giving you. You should be that close to God where you're just right next to him all the way. And he says, this people, that's what they're supposed to be, and they're not. They're profitable for nothing. If they're not going to be close to me, then they're good for nothing. I can't do anything with them. And that's the Lord seeing, like, you know, be close to me. If you don't want to be, you can go do whatever you want in this life. You can go take those other things and make profit and make money. And like the brother said this morning, go party, women, wine, and something else I forget. But anyway, those type of things, you can go do all those things. Solomon says this, it's a sore evil. What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? And all this stuff we do in this life and all the stuff we do in this under the sun, if it's not for God, if you're not cleaving to God and you're not, it's not, if your actions aren't surrendered to God, it's not profitable. Amen. It's not profitable. It should be, it's a matter of surrendering those actions, surrendering your will, surrendering your life and what you're going to go forward with and do in your life. It's a matter of surrendering those things and sticking to the Lord and just cleaving to the Lord with your life. That's what Paul talks about, walking in the Spirit. I think that's what walking in the Spirit is. Yeah. Is running your actions by God. I'm about to do this. I'm about to think this. I'm about to try this. Lord, what do you think? And when you start to do that, he'll tell you real quick what he thinks. And you'll know really quick. And so I'm telling you there's profit in that surrender. There's going to be some profit there. And I want to close there just to give you something to think about. I'm going to say that there's profit there. Can a man be profitable unto God? There's your three ways to do it. And just surrender to him. We can do great things for you. And I just pray that was transferred here this whole weekend. I just ask that the words I said would be blessed and that you would, in the end, get me and magnified. And Lord, we're doing this for you. Love you. I'm so glad you say do and how I can be a friend.